Begin the current daf himself, Ksubas daf Yud Gimel. Begin 4 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, the second in the series of this Machlekes in between Galil and Rambalaza and Rabbi Yeshua, regarding when the man consummates the relationship and he finds out that there's no Besulim. And there's now a disagreement between him and her regarding how is it that she's not a Besulah, which obviously has ramifications in the halachas of finding out that a woman is not a Besulah. So, as the previous Mishnah spoke about a case where he says, look, you're not a Besulah, and that was my assumption. And she goes, you're right. That was the case when we got engaged. But it's only after the engagement that I was nenasti, I was violated after we were engaged. And therefore, I was a Besulah, and therefore, it's not a Mekach Toyes. However, he was saying that, no, maybe you were already violated. You already had some type of Biyah before we got engaged, and therefore, it's a Mekach Toyes. Now, our Mishnah continues in a similar type of argument. She says, you're right, I'm not a Besulah, there's no Besulim here, but it's not because I ever had Bia, it's just because a piece of wood got lodged in the Besulim, and that's what ruptured it. He says, no, that's not necessarily the case. You went and you had relations with another man before we were engaged, and therefore you were Ba'ula. So there's this disagreement about what the facts are. They say that she's believed to say that she never had Bia, and it was just by a piece of wood. Rabbi Shua, he says, no, we don't live based on what she says with her word. Rather, we retain that there is a chazaka. Our presumption will be that she had relations with another man until she brings a proof that it wasn't like that. Now, as we explained the logic between this machlekes in the previous daf, in the previous Mishnah, which was that Rabbi Shua holds, look, there's a cheskes mammon that the husband has. It's my money. You want a ksuba from me? Well, you have to bring proof. It's hamoitzi mechaver of olaraya. So until you bring proof, the chazaka is saying that you're not a besula. It probably was that, at least we can assume that, based on the chazaka that the money's mine, that you already had bia with someone else before it got engaged, therefore making it a mekech tois. Yerongil says that no. Either, as we said in the previous stuff, because there's a migui, or because there are chazakas, she could say that no, I definitely know that this is what happened to me. I never had to be with another man. I was only a mukas eitz. Now, yes, I'm not going to ask you for, as we'll see in the Gemara, for 200 or whatever the claim is going to be, but there's a certain claim that I could have made a better claim, and I'm not making that claim. So therefore, you should believe me in the sense of that I was a mukas eitz, and it's not that I ever had to be before. But the Gemara now explains the specifics of their machlokes. The Gemara is Tanaseu b'mai. What exactly are each other's claims? What is she asking for by saying, look, I'm just a mukaseitz? And what is he willing to give by saying that, no, it's not true, you're not a mukaseitz, you're not a besula, it's because you had relations with another man before we got engaged. What exactly is their dispute? So there's a machlokes. Rabbi Yechon Omer, he says, b'masayim umana. The dispute is between 200 or 100. She's saying, look, I was a mukaseitz, I deserve 200. And even though you didn't know that about me, you thought I was a besula because I was never married before. But you're right, I was never married, never had bia, but it was a mukaseitz. And therefore, I deserve 200 like a mukaseitz. And he says that no, you're not a besula. You want money from me? Prove to me that it's not that you're a drusus ish, that you had relations with another man. And if you had relations with another man, then you only get a mana. Now, as Rashi explains, that obviously Rabbi Yechon holds, which was disputed on the previous daf, that Kenosa Becheskes Besulef, which was the case over here, he married her on the presumption that she's a Besula. And it turns out she's really a Beula, which he's claiming that she is, that you are Drusus Ish, but she does get a Ksuba of Amana. Just she's not going to get the Ksuba of Masayim, but she will get something. And therefore, that's their dispute. She's saying, look, I deserve 200. I was a Mukas Eitz. And he's saying that, no, you weren't Mukas Eitz. You had be with another man, and therefore you're Ba'ula. Okay, fine, Ba'ula gets mana, but not Masayim. Rabbi Lazar, he argues in Rabbi Yechon, he says, no, but mana b'le klum. Their dispute is between if she gets a mana or she gets nothing. That she's claiming a mana, and he's saying, no, you don't get anything, as the Gemara explains. Rabbi Yechon and Amar b'Masayim mana, he explains this dispute of our Mishnah between him and her, if it's 200 or 100, is because Savra law, he holds, as Rashi explains, that he holds that the Tana of the Mishnah holds, Kiremeir, like Kiremeir, because Rashi says if it were to be Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Yechon would not leave the opinion of the Rabbanon, the majority, and go like Kiremeir. Rather, he's explaining the Tana of the Mishnah holds like Reb Meir, which holds, the Amar that Reb Meir holds, as we quoted this in a previous Dav, Bein Hikarba, or Bein Loi Hikarba Masayim. Reb Meir's opinion is that if a woman's a Mukaseit, she never had relations with a man before she got married, but due to some element that ruptured the Besulim, caused her not to have it. So whether they know going into the marriage that she's a Mukaseit, so the question is how much should be her Ksuba, but whether they don't even know, he just wakes up and he says that there was no Besulim over there, so he didn't know that. So that enters the realm of Mekachtoyis or whatever. Remeya says, no, a Mukaseis is the same ksuba as a Basula, as we explained in the previous stuff. And therefore, she gets, most times, she gets 200. That's what the Tana, the Mishnah, holds, like Remeya. And if you hold like Remeya, so her claim is 200, and therefore his response is that, no, you only get 100. Because as we explained, Rabbi Yechon holds that if you do Becheskes Basula and you find Ba'ula, that you do get the lower of Amana. It's not a total Mekachtoyis. But Rabbi Elazar, Imre Bamana, Balei Klum, he explains their dispute. If it's 100 or nothing, it's because Savar Lakra Banan. He says the Talmud Mishnah is going like Drabanan. The Amri that they say, they argue in the mayor, and they say, Bein Hikarba, Bein Loi Hikarba, whether that he knew or didn't know, which is essentially what her claim is, that she was a Mukaseit, is going to be a Mana. So she's saying, look, it doesn't make a difference that you didn't know that I was a Mukaseit. Either way, we're going like the Pindra Abana, who say that a Mukaseit gets a mana, and he's saying that, no, you're right. If you're a Mukaseit, you get a mana, but you're not even a Mukaseit. You had be with another man, and therefore you don't get anything. As we're going to explain, this is because that's going like the Pinya, who holds that if it's Becheskes one thing, and it turns out Cheskes, that it turns out that she's really Ba'ula, she doesn't get anything. So Gemara explains now the reasoning of this machlekes of Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Elazar and how to interpret the dispute of the Chasn and the Kali in the Mishnah. Bishlem Rabbi Elazar lekamek Rabbi Yechon. So the Gemara says it makes a lot of sense why Rabbi Elazar doesn't interpret the Mishnah like Rabbi Yechon, because the kamuki lo k'rabban. He wants to say that the time of the Mishnah is going like the majority opinion they have the Rabbanan, which would be 100 and 0, not 200 and 100, because only Rabbi Meir is the one that says a Mukaseitz, which is what her stronger claim for herself is to be 200. El Rabbi Yechon in my time will limit Rabbi Elazar, but why doesn't Rabbi Yechon say like Rabbi Elazar, which would be like the majority opinion of the Rabbanan, that the dispute is 100 and 0, not 200 and 100, because the way Rabbi Yechon is saying it is going like Rabbi Meir. Why would he say like Rabbi Meir and not like the majority opinion of the Rabbanan? So I think my answer is that Ksava, Rabbi Yechon holds, as we alluded to this before, Knasa Becheskes Besula Benimtzis Be'ula. If let's say a man marries a woman under the presumption that she's a Besula, for all practical purposes, she never got married before, there's no reason to assume that she's a Be'ula. Turns out, he gets married, he consummates the relationship, and she's not a Besula. So Rabbi Yechon held that Yeshla Ksuba Mana, that you, in spite of the fact, that's not considered a Mekach Toyas, a total, that she doesn't get any Ksuba. You're right, she's obviously not a Besula, she doesn't get Masayim, but she gets a Mana. Now, if that's the case, then by default you have to say that the case of Mukas Eitz that she's claiming she is in the Mishnah must be going like Reb Meir, where she's claiming 200. And he's saying that no, Drusus Ishat, you had be with someone else, you're a Ba'ula, and therefore you get only a Mana. And the reason is because if our Mishnah was going like Drabanan, Sahacha Hukam Mana, he, as we said before, is claiming a Mana. Because even if he's saying that you were Drusus Ish, as we just explained, Rabbi Yechon is of the opinion that if you kanasa becheskes basula and you find out that you're wrong, it's a mistake, she's really ba'ula, she still gets the mana. So he's claiming a mana. Vehi karma mana, and based on if it would be going like Rabbanan, who say mukas eitz always gets a mana. So if she's claiming she's a mukas eitz, she'd also be claiming she gets a mana. So then the question would be, ma'ika bein taina didei, letaina didei. What would be the difference between his claim and her claim? His claim that you're ba'ula, and her claim, no, it's not, I'm a mukas eitz. Okay, what's the difference? You're both saying the same thing regarding the halacha that you're disputing of how much ksuba does she get, which is only a mana. So obviously, Rabbi Yechon had to say, based on his understanding of knasa becheskes besula, v'nimtzis be'ula, that you do get a mana, therefore must be when she's claiming it's not true, I am a mukas eitz, must be she's claiming not just a mana, but masayim, which must be going like her mayor, and that's why he says that the dispute is between 200 and 100, and not 100 and 0, because it doesn't hold that there is a 0. Now, the Gemara continues explaining this machlekes to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yechon. Bishlam Rabbi Elazar, we could understand according to Rabbi Elazar that he said that when the man is claiming it's not true, you're not a mukas eitz, you obviously had relations with another man, you were drusus ish, that he's claiming you don't get anything. So, That's why it makes sense why we have two seemingly redundant Mishnayos talking about the same argument about what happens with the money. And that is, we have the previous Mishnah of Yud Beis Mabeis, where she says that, yes, I'm not a Besula, but it's not a Mekach Tais, because Mesher Estani Nenasti. What happens is that we got engaged, I really was a Besula. It was only during our engagement, the 12-month engagement, that I got violated. And then we have additionally our Mishnah, which is again a dispute about Har Ksuba, where she says, Derema Mukaseitz. Now, why would it be necessary to say two Mishnayos that essentially seem to be saying the same thing? Well, he claims one thing. He says, nope, you don't deserve the Ksuba. And she's saying, no, I do. Either because the previous Mishnah said because I was violated, or because, like in our Mishnah, she says it was a Mukas Eitz. But either way, it's his word against her word, and that's the Machlikis between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar on the one hand, that we do believe her, and Rabbi Shua on the other hand, that says we don't believe her. Why would we need two different Mishnahs? So, according to Rabbi Elazar, it makes sense. Because Chada, the Mishnah on our daf, that where she's claiming that a Mukas Eitz, where she wants to claim her Ksuba, the reason why we needed that halacha was Lafukim in the Rami Bar Chama, was to exclude from the opinion of Rambam Bachama that he said on the previous daf regarding the halacha of Mukas Eitz. He identified that according to everybody, if going into the marriage, he didn't know she's a Mukas Eitz, and she never had Bia before, but he thinks besides that she's a Besula, it turns out she's really a Mukas Eitz. He said that according to everybody, she won't get anything. Now that's why Rabbi Elazar needed this Mishnah to show you that it's not true. That it's not that according to everybody she's not going to get anything, because that's actually what she's claiming. She's saying that I'm a Mukas Eitz. What's your claim? If a Mukas Eitz, yes, fine. I thought you were Besula. Now I'm saying maybe you had Bia. You're saying that you're Mukas Eitz. But if you held the Rambam Chama, then her claim wouldn't be getting her anywhere anyway, because if they didn't know going into she's a Mukas Eitz, she wouldn't get anything. Oh, so according to Rabbi Elazar, that's why we needed our Mishnah to say that no, not like Rambam Chama. V'chada, and additionally, we needed the previous Mishnah, Daf Yud Beis Mabeis, where when she said, you're right, I'm not a Besula, but it's only after we got engaged that I was violated. The reason why we needed that Mishnah is because in that Mishnah, he claims, as the words of the Mishnah say, no, it's not true. You were not violated after we got engaged. You knew, but you had this before we got engaged. And the words he says, V'hoyu mechi mekach tois, and it was a mistake. You weren't the woman I thought you were. Now, those words, mekach tois, sound like a total mekach tois, which means to say that she doesn't get anything. You're not getting even that of a be'ula, because it was a mistaken acquisition. It's all undone. This marriage was never consummated. Now, the reason why we needed that Mishnah was lafukim and Rav Chiya bar Oven om Rav Sheshes, that he said on previous end of Yud Alpha Mabez, that he said, like Rabbi Yechanan, that if you were kenasa becheskes besula, if you married a woman based on the presumption that she's a besula, it turns out she's a be'ula. So Rav Sheshes said that, okay, you're right. She's obviously not getting a ksuba of masayim of a besula because she's not a besula, but she will get a ksuba of a mana. And that is what the previous Mishnah was telling you, that no, based on interpretation of Rabbi Elazar, that it's saying that no, it's a mekach tois, and therefore he's telling her that you don't get anything, which obviously is saying that if she was a be'ula before and he didn't know, and turns out she is, if he's saying it's a mekach tois legamri, he's saying to exclude from the opinion of Sheshes and that of Rabbi Yechanan, which we're quoting, that if you go ahead and you find out later that she is a be'ula, she'll have a man. On that, the previous Mishnah is illustrating this fact that you don't get anything, which has to exclude from these two different opinions. Our Mishnah is excluding from one opinion, and the previous Mishnah was necessary to exclude from something else, so there was a necessity for it. But the Gemara asked El Rabbi Yechanan, where he said, like Rav Sheshes, that if you kenasa becheskes besula and turns out she's not a besula, she's be'ula, that she has a ksuba of a mana. So if so, what do we have to say the previous Mishnah when he's claiming it's not true, it's a mekach toyis? Must be it's a mekach toyis under 200. But a mana she does get, as we explain why he interprets our Mishnah like Rav Meir, because he holds that the case of where he's claiming drusus ishat, she still gets a mana. But if that's the case, then tarti lama li, then why do we need the previous Mishnah at all? If it's to say, as we explained there, machlekes in the previous daf and Lili Rabbi Shua regarding bari v'shemo, where her claim is definite, and his claim is, I don't know, but however, the machlekes they had was, could her with her definite claim take away money, be mitzi mamon mechaskaser from him? If that's what we said is their machlekes in the previous daf, then why do we need that Mishnah? We know that from this Mishnah too, where she wants to be Maitzi Mamim Mechazkasi with a definite claim. And moreover, our Mishnah is telling us the Chiddush to exclude from the opinion of Rami Bar Chama. So the question then becomes, but why is it necessary for the previous Mishnah? We would know, A, their Machloikis, and B, the extra Chiddush of to exclude from Rami Bar Chama from our Mishnah. Because the whole reason why we explain according to Blasi, you need the previous Mishnah, is to exclude from Rav Sheshes, but Rav Yochanan agrees with Rav Sheshes. And he says that Kenasa b'cheskes v'sula b'nim tzibuli, you do get a mana. And mekechtoi is not legamri, it's just a partial qualitative mekechtoi. So then the question then becomes, so why do we need that Mishnah? It seems redundant. So the Gemara says no. Actually, it is saying they're both conceptually the same idea. But chadilo diyacha kechdim nil, one of the Mishnais were necessary to say the thrust and how strong is the opinion of Gamliel that says we do believe her. One was necessary to say the strength of the opinion of Rabbi Shu, who says that we don't believe her, even though we would think that maybe we would, as the Gemara explains. Kamaisa, the first Mishnah on the previous daf, was necessary to tell us how strong is the opinion of Rabbi Shu, and that is, although we explained on the previous daf, that is, as we wanted to explain, there could even be like Rav Nachman, that even though she has a migui, that she could have said a better claim. She didn't have to say Mishra Stani Nanasti. She didn't have to say that, you're right, I was violated, I'm not a Besula. Now, which we said that's a problem because the fact that she was violated by another man, although she was married, although she's permitted to stay with her husband, she ultimately will be forbidden when her husband, if and when her husband dies, to marry into Kahanim. Because Kahanim are forbidden with women that were violated when they were married. Now, she could have said a better claim. She could have said, I never had a relation with another man. I was a mukas eitz, you're right. I'm not a basula, but it's not that I had this going into the marriage. I was a mukas eitz. Now, she didn't say that, but that gives a power to believe her because she could have said something better and she didn't. Must be she's telling the truth. And that is what we needed to say in the previous mission. It's still loy mehamna. Still Rabbi Shu does not believe her, even though she has a tiny bari and she has a migui to say that believe me because I could have said a better claim. And we needed our Mishnah, the second one, to tell us the strength of Gamliel. That is, the Avagav Delekalame Mamigui. Although in our Mishnah, she doesn't have the claim of Migui. Now, Rashi explains, because we did explain in the previous daf, that our Mishnah seems to be, and even as we explained the Mishnah, it seems to be that there is a Kayach of a Migui, that she could have said, look, I'm saying you're right. I definitely was not a Basula coming to the marriage. But it's not because I was a drusus ish, but rather, meaning I'm not a ba'ula, didn't have be with another man. It's because I was a mukas eitz, and on that she could have said a better claim of saying I wasn't even mukas eitz going in. It happened afterwards. So that Rashi explains that what the Gemara is pointing out is that according to Rabbi Yochanan, that he said that the Tana of the Mishnah is like Rabbi Meir, who he said that a mukas eitz, even when he didn't know going in that she's a mukas eitz, her kesubah is going to be 200. Then there's no migui because there it doesn't make a difference to say that I was a mukas eitz before or I'm a mukas eitz now, because either way a mukas eitz will always get 200, whether before or after. And therefore there's no kayach of a migui according to Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation of our Mishnah. According to Rabbi Nachman from the previous daf, we could say that it's only based on migui because he wanted to say that a bari will not be able to maitzi mamim chazkasa. It's just because Rabbi Gamliel says that there's a migui. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, at least, that mukas eitz always get 200. So there's no difference if it was tachtav or not tachtav. And so even though there's no migui, still mehamna, that's what the Tana, that's why we needed the second Mishnah to say that even then, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Gamliel would say that the woman isn't a menace, we believe her, even when there's no migui, it doesn't make a difference. Just with her tain of bari, we're going to believe her, and that's why we needed both Mishnais, one to teach how strong is Rabbi Shua's opinion that we don't believe her even when there is a migui, and our Mishnah to say that even when there is no migui, still Rabbi Gamliel believes a woman. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on this, the trilogy of the third Mishnah, talking about this dispute between Rabbi Gamliel and Malaz on the one hand that believe the woman, and Rabbi Shua on the other hand who says, no, we don't believe her. She wants to take away money from the husband to claim a larger ksuba or any ksuba. She has to go ahead and prove it. So the Mishnah says, "Ru'u midaberes imecha." If they saw her talking with a man, v'amar la, and then the people said to Mativa Shalizeh, who's this man that you're talking to? Now we're talking about it was a single woman, and our concern is that she's talking with this man, then maybe he was a nasan or mamzer, and if she's having this intimate conversation with this man, then maybe she had be with him, who he's a pasul, and thus that makes her pasul from marrying into kuna. So we're very concerned, who is this that you're talking to? If it was a mamzer, then maybe you had be with him, and then you become pasul. We're not going to let you marry kanam anymore. So the woman says, don't worry, ish plain of a kain hu. That it was this man, who he's a kain, which means to say that he's meyuchas, he's a kasher person. So I don't become pasul from marrying into kuna now. They say that she is believed, and therefore she's kosher to marry into kohuna, and we're not in doubt if maybe that person that she had bia with was a pasul, was someone that was invalidates her. Whereas Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Shua says, no, we don't live based on her word. Rather, we say that there is chazaka that, no, that she had bia with someone inappropriate that invalidates her, a nasin or a mamzer. Until she brings proofs to what she's saying, that she can prove that she is fit to marry into kahuna. A similar type of a case, the Mishnah says, Haysim Uberis, if she was pregnant, a single woman, Vamarla, Mativa Shalobezeh, they tell her, what's going on? Who is this fetus? Where do you conceive, from who do you conceive this fetus? Now, the Gemara will explain what's necessary to say both cases. They both seem to be saying the same idea, where we're saying that a woman had be with another man. Question is, how we know this, but either way, they're both saying the same case, and that if she's believed to say it was a kasher or not. But be that as it may, the Mishnah continues, she says, "Me'ish plain b'kayin hu." It was from this man, and he was a kayin, don't worry that it's from a kasher man. I'm not pasul to kuna. Serving Leo Rebbe Lezo Aymrim, the men say, she's believed to say that it was a kasher person, and that she's kasher to kuna. Rebbe Yeshua Aymrim, let me pay on the chayin, says, we don't live based on her word. El ha-rezu b'cheskes muberes l'nosl mamzer, rather, we say that the presumption is, as we'll explain the Gemara, what's the presumption here? Here you don't have like the previous two Mishnayos of a cheskes mamon, because it's not between her and a monetary dispute. It's just regarding if she's kasher tikkun or not. But Rabbi Shua says the presumption is that she was impregnated by someone that's pasul, and therefore she will be pasul tikkunah. Asher tavi rala devera, until she brings proof, some way of clearly illustrating that she was that it was a kasher person, and then she'll be kasher tikkunah. Now the Gemara asks regarding the opening case of when they see her talking with a person. The Gemara asks, "My medabes." What does it mean she's talking? What do you mean if she's talking to a man right away, we can suspect her of having beer with a pasul? So the Gemara brings two different interpretations. Ziri amar nistra. What it means to say that if she was secluded, that although that they didn't see her actually have cohabitation with this man, but just by being secluded with a man, according to Rabbi Shua, she becomes pasul to kuhuna, as the Gemara will later explain, where that's called maila asa b'yuchsin. They took more extreme measures when it comes to yuchsin, lineage, to know if this person is appropriate to marry into the chashuva people in Klal Yisrael, where we say that she's not going to be able to marry into kuhuna because she was secluded with this man, and although we don't know that they had bia, we could suspect, and more of a suspect, that it was with a pasul. Vasi Amar Niveler. Vasi actually says when the case it says that they saw her talking with a man, it means that they saw actually have be with a man. They didn't know who the man was. And then the question becomes, who was he? Was he an apostle or a kasher? Now, the Gemara asks, Bishlam el Ziri could understand Ziri's interpretation that he says that they were just secluded. Heinen, they tell him at the best. That's why they used the terminology that she was talking, meaning they were locked up in a room and we heard them talking. So we could say that means they were talking, but it really means they were secluded. But El Ravasi, according to Ravasi, that he said that it means to say that we saw they had bia. So Maimon Daberes, why does he say that they were talking? It wasn't talking; they were nivala. So the Gemara says Lishna Ma'aliya. It uses an appropriate, a delicate terminology of describing bia. So like you see, a pasuk in Mishlei says this type of terminology where it says Kein Derech Isha Mino Efes. Like this is the way of an adulterous woman. The pasuk says that achla, what does adulterous woman do? Achla, she eats. Umachsa pia, she wipes her mouth. Va'amalei pa'altev, and she says, I didn't do anything wrong, meaning she cleans off her mouth. She makes believe like nothing happened. Now, pia, in this context, is obviously a reference to pia shalmata. Now, but one thing we see that regarding tashmish, we see that it uses the terminology of eating, meaning it uses her mouth, which is, there's two different openings by the woman, and it uses that as a euphemism for tashmish. So that's why when we're talking about speaking, we mean the other mouth, and that's the reference to tashmish. So that's why we use that terminology, but it really doesn't mean medaberis. It really means that they saw her having bia. Now, so the Gemara asks, now bishlam al-Zi'ibi, we understand according to Zi'ibi's interpretation again that it means nistra. Hi, the Ketani Tarti, that's why Mishnah says two cases, as we alluded to this question in the Mishnah. You have the case of Midaberes, when they were talking, which again means they were just secluded, which that tells us, Kayach of Rabbi Shua, that says that she's not believed, that even though they didn't see her having Bia, all we saw that they were secluded, and still we're going to say that she's Pasal Vekona. And also, that's why we have the second case of Muberes, which that tells us the Kayach of Rimlil, that even though that obviously she had be with somebody because she's pregnant, in spite of that, still we believe her to say that it was with a kosher. But the Ravasi Tarti Lama, they were according to Ravasi, why do you need two cases? Midaberes means that she had bia. So what's more, in the case of Muberes, it's also the same idea. We know she had bia. Obviously, by default, if she's pregnant, she had bia. So either way, they're both saying the same idea, that she had bia. The question is it a kosher apostle? And that's machlekes from Lila and Yerushua. Why the need for both cases? So the Gemara answers, Chada l'hach sherba. The first case was to say that she's kasha for kuhuna, even though that we know she had bia, because she's believed to say that it was with a kasha. The chada l'hach sherba bita. The case of the seifa when it's told that she's pregnant was to say that even the fetus, her daughter, is going to be kasha for kuhuna. That is, if the fetus ends up being a female, according to Gamliel, she can marry into kuhuna. Now, why would that be necessary? The reason is because if we only said the case talking about her, we would have thought to say that, oh, it's the woman that up until now she had what's called a cheskas kashrus, she had a presumptive state that she's kasher, which every Jewish woman has that. So we say that she remains with that chazaka, and we will not invalidate her out of the current doubt regarding if maybe this person was a apostle. But the fetus never was born yet to have a presumptive state of kashrus. Maybe there we would say that actually that she will be pasul kohanah. That's the chiddush of the case of when ru'u muberes, where even the fetus is going to be kasher for kohanah. Now the Gemara asks, hanich l'man d'amad, that's good according to the one that says, which the Gemara in Amud Beis will talk about this machlekes, that l'divir hamachshava, that according to Gamliel, who says that the woman is kasher, she is believed to marry into kohanah, is machshava bita, will also validate the daughter in marrying into the kohanah. But as we'll see on the Medbeis, that according to the one that says that, yes, she's kasher, it's only for her, but actually her daughter that doesn't have the cheskes kasher actually will be possible kuhuna. So Michael and Mema, what are you going to be able to say? So you're back to the question. So then obviously the case of Muberes is not being machsher the daughter, rather it's being machsher the woman. So why do you need two cases? If you're telling me that the case of Midaberes means that you saw her having bia, so that's the same thing. It's that we know definitively that there actually was a bia, which is the same thing when seeing her having a bia or seeing her pregnant. And then the question is, so why do we need two cases of seemingly the same achlekes? So the Gemara answers, you're right. Obviously, Rav Asi Sava Kaman Dama, obviously Rav Asi holds like the one who says, L'dibbe machshaba machshaba bita. The one who says, Rav Gamliel, that she is kosher, is saying also that her daughter is kosher, and that is what we see from both cases. Medaberes is to say that she's kosher, and Muberes to say that the daughter is kosher. Now the Gemara continues elaborating on this machlekes of Zeir and Rav Asi. Amar Rav Papa Abayi, he says, look, l'Zeiri, the ama mai medaberes nistra, according to Zeiri that he says, that what is medaberes? It means to say that they were just secluded, not that it means that they were nivola, it means to say that they were had yichud. Now, v'amar Rabbi Shua lo mehemna, now in this machlekes, Rabbi Shua says that she's not believed, and that is we will assume, based on just the seclusion with a man, we don't know who he is, that she had bia, and more will even say that the bia was with apostle. Now the question is, Ha'amar Rabbi, Rav said, Malkin al ha-yichud. We give lashes for a woman that has seclusion with another man, which is rabbinic lashes called makas mardis, but ve'ein oisrin, we do not make a woman forbidden to her husband, a married woman, al ha-yichud, because of her seclusion with another man. She doesn't become forbidden. Now the question is, Lema de le Rabbi Yeshua, based on Zeiri's interpretation, it seems like Rav is not like Rabbi Yeshua. Because based on the Yichud, Rabbi Yeshua is saying that we will assume that she had Bia with this man, which again, and we're even assuming that this man is apostle. Now, but Rav said that we do not create Isurim based on seclusion. We cannot ascertain that there definitely was a Bia. So why, according to Yeshua, the way Ziri is interpreting our Mishnah, that there was only seclusion, will we say that she's pasla kuna because we say that she had bia? So another Gemara answer is not filled tamer Rabbi Yeshua. We could even say that Rav is like Rabbi Yeshua, and that is just by being secluded, we don't say that for sure that there was a bia to create an iser. And it's only my loss of a yuchsin. There was a certain elevated halachic status we gave for yuchsin, meaning to marry into kahuna, where if this man is apostle, he will then, by having be with this woman, make her apostle now for kahuna. So you're right, as we mentioned this idea in the Mishnah too, where why would we be machzikar that she was nivelal apostle, that it was tanos namamzer, as we're asking the question over here, just by having yichud, according to Ziri's interpretation, that generally does not create an iser, even by to create like what would be called a subik deraisa. You're right, it's only a mylos of yuchsin. When it comes to marrying into kuhuna, we go so far, Rabbi Yeshua says, to not believe her and to say that she cannot marry into kuhuna until she brings a proof otherwise. But that's only because of mylos of yuchsin. It's not the seclusion per se that creates an iser. Now the Gemara continues and asks, the Gemara asks the following question from a braisa on Rav Asi's interpretation that what is nistera, what does midaber sinar mishnah mean? It means nivala. So the Braisa says, Ru'ua shenichnase mechla seser, if people saw that this woman went with this man into seclusion, which sounds like the classical case of yichud, that they were secluded in the area, or as we continue on to Amidbeis, oyla churva, or they saw that they went into an abandoned, broken down building. Now, generally, why would a man and a woman go into such a place? Generally, that would be for cohabitation, which that's a place where people are mezana. Now, they tell this woman, who is this man that you went and you secluded yourself with, or you even presumably in that churva went to have beer with? So she says, oh, koinhu, uvenachi abahu, he's the son of my father's brother. I mean to say, he's a miyuchis. Don't worry, I'm not pasul tikuna, even if I had beer. Rabbi Shua Malay Mepionachain says, no, we don't base our halachas on her testimony. We say that she's presumptive that she had beer with someone that's apostle until she brings proof to show that he wasn't apostle. Now the Gemara concludes the question. Bishlem leZeiri, this price makes sense according to Zeiri because Hain Diktani Tarti, that's why it says two cases. One is Laseser, which that just means that they were secluded. We have no reason to believe that there was necessarily a bia. Oh, l'churva. That makes sense why there's a second case of a churva, which we said that because that's stama l'bia. So one would be, again, a chiddush in Rabbi Yeshua's opinion, which would be the case of Seser. And the case of churva would be a chiddush, even according to Rabbi Gamliel, that even though presumably there was bia, because why going into a dilapidated, broken-down building, still Rabbi Gamliel would say that she's nemenes. And that's how he explained our Mishnah. Where there was medaberes and muberes, which is essentially just stira and then there's bia. But El Ravasi Dom and Nivalo, but according to Ravasi, that he said that the cases that they argue about, which as he explained in our Mishnah, the case of Medaberes, means that they were Nivalo. So in Tarte Lomali, why does the Braisa have to say two cases of that she went listira, she went in seclusion, or Lachurva, where he only says stira alone, Rabbi Shu would not say that she's not Nemenis. It's only a case of when it was actually Bia. But then why does the Braisa say two cases if they're both saying the same idea? Of Nivala. I mean, in our Mishnah, you were able to answer once for her, once for Bita. But here it's not saying anything about Muberes. So why say two cases? So the Gemara answers, Chadigatani, you're right, it's really one case. It means Laseser de Churva, to seclusion of a dilapidated building. But the Gemara asks, but how could you say that? But the Braisa says clearly it's two different cases. It says in seclusion or to a broken down building. So the Gemara answers, you're right, there's two different cases, but one is talking about one's talking about a broken down building in the city. Now, what that means is that generally the bia, if it's a broken down building in the city, means that the man that she was with was one of the people of the city. Now, you could say that if it's in the city that the majority of the people are Yisroel Kshayim, you could say that it probably was with the kasher. Now, but the other case was talking about a broken down building out in the desert, where there, it's not in the city. So the doubt is, it could have been anyone in the world that came over here to this churva. Now, the majority of the world are non-Jews, which they invalidate a woman with their bia to be able to marry into kuhuna. As the Gemara says, Nivamas, Daf Memeyam and Alf, and Kedushin, Daf Ayahamad Beis, that non-Jews and slaves are excluded where they don't have almonas and gerish, and therefore they invalidate a woman from marrying into kahuna. Now those are two different cases. And utzrichi, according to Rav Asi, there's a necessity of the case of seisa and churva, because the yash min the churva the masa, had we only said one of the cases which we had explained means to say that it was a broken down building in the city, maybe there we would say b'halka machash Rav Gamliel. Maybe only over there Rav Gamliel says that she's kosher and that she's believed, mishum derev k'sher metzla, because even if she went and had bia, but we could assume that she's right that it was with a kosher, because the majority of the people in the city are yisrom k'sher. Aval churva de dabra, but if it happened in a churva in the desert, out in the wild, derev pesul netzla, where majority of the world there are people that will invalidate her. Maybe there we would say that he would agree to Yeshua that she would not be believed to marry into kahuna. That's why we have to say that case too. Now, had we only said the case of Churva de Dabra, so by he come Rabbi Shua, maybe only over there Rabbi Shua say that we don't believe her. And we assume, look, she probably had Bia, and moreover, that the majority of the people in the world are Psulim. And therefore, she's Pasla Kahuna Av Baha, but the first case of Churva de Masa of a city, we would say maybe he would agree to Rimlil and say that, okay, look, even if she had Bia, but the Raiv says it was with the Yisrael Kasher, maybe he would agree that she is Kasher the Kohuna. Tzricha, that's why Kanja Vasi, we needed both cases of Laseis and Lachurva, wants to say Churva de Masa and wants to say Churva de Dabra, to say that Rimlil and Yerushua argue in both those cases. The Gemara continues asking on Ravasi's interpretation. Meisvei, the Gemara asks him the following brisa. The Tanakhama says, Zu Eidus Shahisha, this is the testimony that the woman herself is Ksherila, that she's kosher for it. In other words, she's believed to say that I had bia with a person that's kosher. We believe her to make her kosher for kuna. For Yeshua Aimer, as he says in our Mishnah, the Ein Amen is no, she's not believed. Moreover, Amalei Rabbi Yeshua, Yeshua said to them, which in our Mishnah is Rimlila and Balazar. He says, Iyata Moidim Bishwish Nishbis, don't you agree? By a woman that was taken in captivity. V'yeshla Eidim Shanishbis, and we have witnesses that testify that she was taken as a captive. Now, although V'hi Ameris Tahirani, even if she says, I'm tar, I never had bia with these people that took me captive, which are obviously psulim, non-Jews, and slaves, she'ein in emenis, that she's not believed to marry into kuhuna. So Amalai, so the Chacham responded to Bishua, Avul, yes, you're right. Now, so Bishua continues, and he says, and that's the case, so ma hefrish yesh bin zulazu, then what's the difference between these two cases? Here we have, where we know she was secluded with the captors, and here we know that she was secluded with this man. So just like over there, you agree that she's not believed to say that she's kasha for kuhuna, so here also she shouldn't be believed to say that she's kasha for kuhuna. So that the Chacham answered to Bishua, no. Lezu yesh eidim. By the case of captivity, there's witnesses that she had cohabitation with these psulim. Now the reason is because since she was taken captive between non-Jews and their parutz barais, they definitely we could presume that they're definitely full of licentiousness and immorality, and they definitely it's almost as if they are witnesses screaming that they had bia with her. And therefore, yes, of course, we would agree that there she wouldn't be kosher lakuna. But in the case that we're discussing, there's no witnesses that she had bia. The only thing we see is that she was talking with this man, or however you interpret that. Now, but however, migui that she could have said that I didn't have bia. See, even when she says that I had bia, but she's saying I had bia with a kosher, she should be believed. Because there's no witnesses for us telling us that she had bia. She was just being midaberes. She was just nistera with this person. And therefore, there's no witnesses telling us that she had bia with a pasul, so there we should believe her. Now, Amalehem, but Rabbi Shua responded back to the Chacham, he says, no, it's not true. Af lezu, meaning, also in the two cases that we're arguing about in this Mishnah, which we are learning on this daf, there is one of them that yesh edim, that has, so to speak, witnesses, what we call, and you still argue on me, and that's the case of when she's pregnant. Because she'arei kreisa bein shineha, her stomach is between her teeth, which is a hyperbolic statement of saying that means she's pregnant. And if she's pregnant, obviously this witness is to say that she had bia. Her stomach, her fetus is testifying that she had bia. And just so why is it any different than the case over there by captivity where there's, so to speak, this collective testimony that she had bia, and therefore she's not believed to say that it was, that she's kashal kuhuna. Here also, by the case of Muberes, at least agree to me that she's not kashal kuhuna because her fetus is saying that she had bia. Now Amalai, but they responded to Yeshua that you can't compare. The majority of non-Jews are definitely parts. They go beyond the limits of morality, and therefore they definitely have cohabitation with a woman that was taken in captivity. Now the Gemara will later on explain exactly what type of response is that to what he's telling them regarding the case of Muberes. Muberes is not talking about the case of captivity, some of the cases of our Mishnah. So the Gemara will explain that. Now, Amlehen, but Rishu responded back to them, in Apotropis La Rais, we cannot go ahead and make it as if anyone has someone in charge of him regarding immorality, and that is, we don't believe anybody when it comes to our Rais. Now, the Gemara will later on explain how is that responding to what they said. Now, however, the Brisa concludes that Bamed, when did we say that according to Mliel, which is the Chachamim, that the woman is believed, that's Be'edus Isha Begufa. That's regarding when a woman says testimony regarding herself, to say that she herself is Kasha Bekuna, that we do not assume that her bio is with apostle, to say that she's Pasa Bekuna. Be'edus Isha Bebita, but regarding a woman's testimony regarding her daughter, according to everybody, the child is going to be what's called a shtuki, which comes from the word of shtika, of silence. We silence the child saying, shh, we don't know who your father is. Which basically means to say that you're not a meyuchis and you can't marry into kuhuna. Now, before the Gemara concludes the question on Rav Asi from this Braisa, the Gemara first wants to explain the Braisa and then conclude the question. Maika amalahu, what exactly did Yeshua tell them? Umaika mahadrilein, and what did they respond to him? In other words, what did he say to them that then they responded to him that, oh, no, Rabbi Shua, it's not a good taina that you're saying? Because Rav Evde Kachavim Prutzim Barais. Now, what type of response is that regarding what he told them? He said that, look, you agree to me by captivity that she's not believed. Because there's so to speak, not real witnesses, but like as if there's witnesses saying that she for sure had bia, and therefore she became puzzled when she had bia with these captors. Now, here also, by the case of at least of Muberes that were arguing in the Mishnah, there's also witnesses that she had bia, which is the fetus itself, and therefore we shouldn't believe her. Now, this that they would seemingly be differentiating by the case of captivity, which was non-Jews, that because non-Jews are pritzim barayis, well, here also there's no greater pritzis than this, where we see that she's pregnant. If she's pregnant, obviously she had some type of immoral relationship. She's single. How is she pregnant? And therefore, what type of response were they telling him to his claim to say that what's the difference between the two cases? Both of them have these proverbial witnesses that testify that she had some type of a pretense and we shouldn't believe her, and therefore she should be possible kahuna. Why do you argue on me, at least in the case of Muberes? So the Gemara says that Nahachi Kamrile, this is what they were telling him. Hishavtani Allah Muberes. You're right. You gave us a good answer regarding the case, one of the two cases we argue on in the Mishnah, of when she's pregnant. That you're right, it's as if she has witnesses testifying that she was paritz, that she went and had a bia with a man, and therefore that we shouldn't believe her. But what they did respond to Rabbi Shua was, but matishivene alhamadaberes, but what about the first case we're arguing about in the Mishnah? Regarding the case of Midaberes, where there, why do you say over there that we don't believe her? That's very much different than the case of a shvuya. Here, if she's just being medaber with a man, if she's just being secluded with a man, what would be the difference? I mean, why would you say over there that we don't believe her? Now, Amalehem, so on that, Yeshua responded to them, Midaberes Hainu Shvuya. Again, this whole conversation is not in the text of the Braisa, but that's what the Gemara is explaining to be able to understand what part of the discussion is missing, that then we'll be able to see what the next part is, where that comes in, what they respond to him in their seemingly next response of Vayibtikachavim Prutz Maraisa. So he said to them, look, you're right. You agree that my claim against you by the case of Muberes is a good taina because there there's Edim, so to speak, and here there's Edim, so to speak. But you're saying that, but why am I arguing on the case of Midaberes? I'll tell you why. Because Midaberes Haina Shvuya, the case of when they were just talking, is the same as the case of captivity. In other words, yes, just like when they're talking, there's no witnesses that they had bia, But so too, when she's taken to captivity, there's no witnesses that she had bia, and yet still you consider her presumptuously so that she had bia with the cat with the captors, and that's why she's forbidden tikuna. So here also we could presume that she had bia. Now that amalai, that's what the Braisa is quoting from the next part of the conversation that they said to him. No, shani shvi, the case of captivity is different. The rave of the kachav and prutz and baraisin by non-Jews, for sure they had bia. Because they have a woman in captivity, of course they can have bia with her because they're parts by rice. But with a woman and a man, we don't know for sure that any man and a woman is having bia. And therefore, of course, we believe her. If she doesn't even have to say she had bia. If she's saying that she had bia, but at least believe her that was a bia with a kshera. Now, Amalehem, and that's what the Braisa records, that she said to them that no. Ha nami, this case too. Kiven de istater, since they were secluded, then ena petrabis la rice. Then what that means is that you cannot be an apotropos for that man to say that he didn't have bia. You have a man and a woman secluded. There's a presumption there too. Just like you presume by prutz and by arayas, by non-Jews, that they had bia, a man and a woman being secluded, you cannot be a guarantor that they didn't have arayas. There's a strong desire for that. And therefore, there too, Rabbi Yeshua was saying that we will not believe her and we will assume that they had bia. And that explains the conversation of the Braisa, because there were some lines missing, where that was the end of their conversation. Now, however, now the Gemara concludes the question on Ravasi. K'tani mias tarti, but one thing we see from the case of this Braisa, the way we just explained it, the way we inserted the lines into the text, is that there were two cases that they were discussing. Midaberes umuberes, a case of when they were just talking, whatever talking means, and then there was a case of pregnancy. Now, to you, to Ravasi, that seems to be a refutation of Ravasi, because as we just explained, their conversation was, they agreed when there was a case of Muberes that you're right, Rabbi Shua. There, it's a Chub in the Tzachas that you said, because what's the difference then between the case of Shvuya and the case of Muberes, where both of them are, so to speak, screaming that she had bia and that she was a parts? You're right, there's pretzes by both, and therefore we could assume that it was with a puzzle, just like it is by non-Jews. So too by the case when she had pretzes that she had bia with another man that she became pregnant from. Now, but one thing that they were telling him was, but we disagree with you on the case of Midaberes, when she was just talking, whatever talking means. Now, if you say like Ziri that Midaberes means Nistra, so it makes sense why they were disagreeing. Because man and woman are being secluded, we should assume that she had bia with a puzzle? On that, Rabbi Yeshua said yes, because Eina Petrabas Larais, just being secluded, there's already a priestess over here, and we could already assume that a man and a woman are having bia, and that it's even with a puzzle that she's puzzle of a kahuna. But according to Ravasi, that since this Bryce is elaborating the discussion of the Mishnah, Ravasi says that Midaberes is a case of Nivala. Now, Nivala is no different than Muberes. Both of them, we know that she had bia. The whole difference, as he explained the case of our Mishnah, was one's lach shabba, one's lach shabbita. But regarding what they're discussing here, the Braisa is regarding if we could assume that she had bia or not. Now, regarding if we could assume she had bia, there's no difference between Nivala and Muberes. Both of them have, either because of two witnesses who saw her having bia, or because of the fetus that's screaming she had bia, and both of them are active priestess, and therefore why would they have disagreed regarding Midaberes if they agree regarding Muberes? Obviously, Midaberes means Nistra, not Nivala. So the Gemara concludes, Tiyufta, that's obviously a refutation of Ravasi, and we must say, like Ziri, that the two cases of our Mishnah of Midaberes and Muberes, Midaberes actually means just Nistra, and Muberes is the case of when we should know that she had bia. And therefore, they wanted to say, okay, we'll agree to you regarding Muberes, but not regarding Midaberes. And that Rabbi Yeshua said that no, because in Abatrapas Larayas, even that itself is such a pirtza that we could assume that she had bia with a puzzle. Now the Gemara, now that it refuted Ravasi, just continues in this Braisa that we quoted and asks, according to Yeshua, that although what he's saying, that what's called ina petrabas la'arayas, which is a commonly used terminology to say that we can't trust people in a man and a woman being secluded privately, and that we could assume or suspect that she had bia with a puzzle, but still, but typically, the Gemara says, it's still not comparable to what was the thrust of his proof to the case of Shvuya. And that's why he was saying that you should agree to me just like you agree by the case of Shua in this captivity. And the reason why it's not the same is because the Hasam Reb Sulnat's law, you're right. Both cases, we could assume and presume that there was an act of bia, because men and women, there is that taiva, regarding a rise, and they had Bia. But by the case of when she's a captive by non-Jews, the Rav, the majority of who's having Bia with her, are psulim. But Bahalcha Rav Ksherin, that's law. But here, you're right. A man and woman were secluded. We don't know who the man was, but they probably had Bia. But still, the majority of the people are Ksherin. And therefore, why should we assume when it's in the city that it was done by apostles? So even Rabbi Yeshua, you want to say that Ein HaBet Shabbos Lo Rais, and they were secluded and they had Bia, fine. But still, she should be kasher l'kahuna because Rav, the majority, should tell us that it was with a kasher. So that the Gemara says, obviously, Misayel Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. This supports Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's premise. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, he said, L'divi ha-machsher, according to the one that says it's kasher, meaning Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar, that we believe the woman, machsher filib rav pesulin, that will say that she's kasher, even when the majority of the people that we could suspect that she had beer with are pesulin. Because we say that okmeh achaskasa, she remains with her chazaka, that she's kasher for kahuna, like any regular woman. Now, it was because based on this, that they would say that it's kasher even merei pesulim, that that's what Rabbi Yeshua had brought them a riot to say, then if that's the case, I could disprove your premise because the case of Shvuya, which is merei pesulim, and we see that you would agree that she wouldn't be believed. And that's what the Braisa says. Okay, so they agreed, you're right. So you have us regarding the case of merei pesulim, which we say is the same as merei kasher, we're fine. By the case of where we know for sure that there was a bia, either because of Muberes or because of when she was taken in captivity, that then we would agree. But then again, by Medaberes, they were saying just talking by being secluded, that they wanted to argue. But we see that if it's kosher, it's kosher even by Rav Pesulim. Now, moreover, and this is the point that the Gemara is illustrating it from, the Devi HaPaitz, according to the one that says it's possible, which is Rabbi Yeshua, Paitz LaFilib Rav Kshem, he says it's possible even when the majority of the people are kosher, and that's why he held that no, there's no difference between the case of that we're discussing of Ein HaBet Shabbos L'Rais, where the Rav Aksheim, and the case I'm trying to ask you from the case of captivity, which Rav Psulim, because it doesn't make a difference. If you're going to say it's kosher, you'll be makshered even by Rav Psulim, and if you'll say it's possible, you'll say it's possible even by Rav Aksheim. Now, continuing on the topic of Amishnah, which the Gemara had alluded to this machlekes on Amin Aleph, the Gemara brings the following machlekes on Rabbi Yechanan. According to Rabbi Elazar, that say that she's kosher, she's believed to say that this man who we don't know who she had bia with is a kosher, machsher bebita, will make even the fetus eligible to marry tikkuna. The one that says it's possible, which Rabbi Yeshua, place the bebita, that so too the daughter will be possible to marry tikkuna. Rabbi Elazar, I mean, he argues, he says, no, the one that says, even according to Rabbi Elazar, says that she is kosher, place the bebita, her daughter will not be valid to marry tikkuna. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabba, my time and Rabbi Elazar. What's the reason of Rabbi Elazar? Why, if she's believed, is she not believed regarding the fetus? Which, if she obviously had bia with a kasher, so then the child's also kasher b'kuna. So the Gemara explains because bishlo me'ihi isla chazaka the kashers. The woman herself has a presumptive state that was already established that she's kasher b'kuna because any Jewish woman, once she's born, is a besula that's valid for kuna. Now, out of doubt, you want to say that she had to be with apostles, so the suffix cannot be mitzi from her chazaka. But bita less lo chazaka de kashrus, her daughter does not have a presumptive state. She was never born yet. Her whole conception was already a suffix, if she's a kasher or apostle, and therefore there's no chazaka, and that's why she herself, the fetus, will actually be pasul v'kahuna. Now, regarding this machlekes, the Gemara says, Eisvir b'lazar b'yechan. Yechan asked on Rabbi Yechanan from the following brisa, which we had quoted this brisa before, that Rabbi Yechanan wants to say that not only will the woman be kasher, but so too her daughter. But the brisa said, "Bamed v'mamum." When did we say that the woman is believed according to Gamliel? That's be'edus isha b'gufa. That's regarding a woman's own testimony for her own body. Aval edus isha b'bita. But regarding the woman's testimony to work for her daughter for the fetus, divrei hakol havlat shtuki. There, everybody, even according to Gamliel, the child would be considered shtuki. So the Gemara says, my love, shtuki apostle. Shtuki generally connotes a child that we silence to say, we don't know who your father is. You're considered possibly an illegitimate. Your father could have been a mamzer. And that you're apostle to kahuna. So you see, not according to Rabbi Yechanan, we see that even according to Rabbi Gamliel, that the child will be apostle to kahuna. And the Gemara says, lo, you know, shtuki v'kasher. It's saying that, yes, the child is a shtuki, but is kasher to marry to kahuna. And that is, as the Gemara will explain, that she's a partial shtuki, meaning that even if the one who did the bia was a kohen, and if the fetus is a male, we would silence him from the dinim of kahuna, which the Gemara will explain what dinim are those. But the child is kosher for yuchsin purposes, for marriage into kahuna, where if let's say she's in the keva, female, she could marry into kahuna. And or if let's say the fetus is a male, his daughter or his widow would still be kosher for kahuna. He wouldn't be considered a pasul that would invalidate his children or his wife itself. So the Gemara asks, well, mikah shtuki kosher? What does that mean? It's almost an oxymoron to say that a shtuki is a kosher, because generally in halacha, shtuki means we don't know who the father is. If we don't know who he is, he could have been a mamzer, and therefore we say you're forbidden to kuna. So what does it mean that the daughter could be a shtuki, yet kosher for kuna? So the Gemara says, in yes, it's possible to have such a thing. Kiddush Shmuel. Dama Shmuel, like Shmuel said the following case. Asar kahanim oimnu, if you have 10 kahanim standing in one group, upirish echemem, now one of them went off, and we don't know which one of the 10 it was, but he went into an area, ubal in the cabinet with a woman. Now, he came back, we don't know who that man was, and they go away. Now, that the halach is havlad shtuki. The child is going to be considered a shtuki. Now, although we know for sure that the father was one of these 10 men, and therefore he definitely was a kohen kasher, so therefore, obviously, this shtuki where we silence the child and say, we don't know who your father is, but obviously he's going to be kasher for yuchsin, and therefore if the child is a nekeva, a female, she'll be fit for kahuna. And yet still, we call the child the shtuki because we don't know who the father is. But then the Gemara asks, my shtuki, so why are we calling the child the shtuki? As the Gemara explains, if it's that we silence the child regarding inheriting from their father's estate, well, pshita, obviously. Do we know who the father is? It's one of these 10 kahanim. How are you going to go ahead and claim from the father's estate? You don't know which one of the 10 men it was. So what would be the purpose of calling the child the shtuki? Ella, it means shemeshtika noisei midin kuna. Rather, means that we silence the child from the laws of kahuna, meaning that this, let's say it's a boy, he cannot do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, he cannot eat truma, although he's for sure a kohen. Because, as we're saying, the child's kosher to marry into kahuna. Father's for sure a kohen, but you don't know which father it is that's a kohen. Now, why would that make the child pasul from the dinim of kahuna? They'll say, like it's a pasuk by Midbar. Pasuk says, V'hoyseloi ulazare achrav, that should be for him and his children afterwards, a bris kuhunas oilam, a covenant for an everlasting kuhuna. Now, what that means is misha zare miyuchas acharav. Only someone that the child is miyuchas hazichus, that there's a clear lineage after him, where it says it's for him and his zare acharav. Now, that means to say that we know who the father is. That excludes this child that we don't know the zera acharav. We don't know who the father is. And because of that, that doesn't apply the bris of kunas olam, and therefore you can't do the avoida and you can't eat truma. However, so that's why we're calling it a shtuki, that you can't have dinam kuna. However, you're still going to be kosher for kuna, and therefore it doesn't refute Rabbi Yechon, who says that according to Mlil, who says that she is kosher, that also the daughter is going to be kosher. Because since the father is we're believing the woman that the father, whoever the man that she had be with, was a kasher, so therefore she's going to be kasher too. It just means shtuki from having the dinim of kahuna, because since we don't know exactly who he is, that already doesn't make it, as the pasuk says, v'hoy saloi ulazari acharav.